Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio, and today's episode is being brought to you by ButcherBox. If you guys don't know what ButcherBox is, you guys are in for a surprise, because what I'm about to tell you right now could get you free meat for a year if you choose to click on the link that's included down in the description below. ButcherBox delivers over 100 premium protein choices straight to your door. Straight to your door. That's exactly where they're going. It's 100% grass-fed. You guys have beef free-range or organic chicken, pork raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. For nearly a decade, ButcherBox has been the lead in the industry with meat and seafood that is antibiotic-free. That's freaking huge. If your guys' freezer looks like mine, and you guys go in there and you're trying to figure out what it is that I'm going to eat on a nightly basis, or maybe you go pull one or two things out and you try to throw together some type of concoction, well, guess what? ButcherBox is here to the rescue, because you guys no longer have to worry about all that crap. You know exactly what's coming in. It's nice. It's healthy. It's good for you. Since I've been eating it, I've been feeling 10 times better. I feel like I look 10 times better. I hope you guys think that. People are often ask me, what is the secret? Why do you look so young? Blah, 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 blah. Well, you want to know what in my opinion is? Boom, right here up on the screen. And as an exclusive offer to our listeners, you can get free protein in every box for a year plus $20 off your first box when you guys go to butcherbox.com/Rob. Go to butcherbox.com/Rob to get this limited time offer and free shipping as always. That's butcherbox.com/Rob. And do not forget to use our link so they know who sent you. And while I'm at it, I might as well go look it up. Look at this. Free steak tips for a year, free chicken breast for a year, free ground beef for a year. All right up there on your guys' screen. This is stuff you guys end up buying at the grocery store anyways. Why not just get some good organic stuff? Get on over there. Go get yourself some. Did I say organic? I'm sorry. Not organic. Antibiotic free. Get on over there, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's move on to the main story. First, I need to present to you guys this madness. If you guys are just tuning in for the second time because we had some streaming issues, well, bear with me because I got to show this madness.
Let's read the badges of the pigs.
Let's read the badges of the pigs.
So to the Rahmans and the Muhammads.
To the Rahmans and the Muhammads.
To the Alis and the Abdullahs.
To the Alis and the Abdullahs.
To the Rafids.
To the Rafids.
To the Rafids.
To the Rafids.
To the pigs.
Yes.
Who can call themselves by the name of Islam?
Who can call themselves by the name of Islam?
To the Muhammad!
To the Muhammad!
Put some respect on their name!
Put some respect on their name!
And just think about this, being this law enforcement officer sitting there. All we hear about is peace in the streets, peaceful protest, Middle East, it's perfectly okay. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's not. And you're about to see why. For the first time and ever, Antifa has been brought up and they directly point out terrorism related charges over inside of the indictment. I'm about to put that up on the screen. You guys are about to see what happened. Before we get there, let's talk about this. The madness that's out here. You know, I talk about a religion of love and peace, etc. This ain't it. And it's the same conversation I had with people over in the streets of Portland. Like, yeah, you want to preach the word of Jesus, but you're not exactly acting like that. That gentleman later on came up to me and was like, you know what? Sorry about that. I ended up watching your stream. I ended up watching your videos. Turns out you're right. I might have been acting a little bit out of order. Well, I'll tell you this much. What this individual is doing here, That's allegedly not how that's supposed to work. That's not exactly your religion of peace. And while we're talking about police officers being from other states and everything else that's going on, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about how in the world we have first responders in this country that are in the United States of America illegally. Now, I said when I was over in Portland that I actually ended up coming across, I said this, that I ended up being told by a little birdie that I absolutely trust to death. They know for a fact. You end up having first responders that were on the payroll of some major cities that were illegal aliens, and that these different agencies, departments, whatever you want to call them, knew about it, and nothing got done. Nothing got done. And that was just people that I trust. Now we have this.
Let's do breaking news now. Immigration Customs and Enforcement has just revealed in the last short time a police officer working in Illinois is an illegal immigrant. Radule Budjevich works for the Hanover Police Department. He graduated from the academy in August, but he has been living in the U.S. illegally for a decade after his tourist visa expired in 2015. heard as part of Operation Midway. So we wanted to bring you the very latest on that.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you guys a question. If this individual, right up here on the screen, ended up having a tourist visa that ended up expiring, why, oh, why, on God's green earth, why, oh, why did they have a job? I'm pretty sure you're like required to present a social security number if you are working legally here in the United States of America. It makes legitimately no sense to me how that actually happened. And if any of you guys can tell me why that happened, how that happened here, good question. But it also brings to mind some of the, how do I want to say this, biased policing that I ended up seeing while I was out there. And if we have even one case of that taking place at any municipality, anywhere in the United States of America, you got to ask yourself some serious questions. How the heck did it go that bad? Here's your next thing. Antifa, finally charged, mentioning terrorism, everything else here inside of this indictment. I'm going to read it for you guys. Late at night on the 4th of July, 2025, a North Texas Antifa cell of at least 11 operatives clad in black and donning masks, some of whom were wearing body armor and carrying firearms, attacked the Prairie Land Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas. U.S. Department of Homeland Security was using Prairie Land to house illegal aliens awaiting deportation. Members of the Antifa cell began shooting fireworks towards the facility and vandalizing vehicles and a guard shed. Alarmed at the presence of people near the facility, late at night, DHS correctional officers inside the facility went outside to investigate. Other DH personnel called local police for assistance. Within minutes, an officer from the Alvarado Police Department arrived on scene, stepped out of his cruiser, and began issuing commands to a black-clad figure running towards another black-clad figure holding a rifle. One Antifa member, co-conspirator one, who goes by the name of Cameron Arnold, it's right up here at the top of the document, yelled, "Get the rifles." Seconds later, co-conspirator one opened fire on the officers, striping the Alvarado police officer in the neck area as the unarmed corrections officers ducked and ran for cover. The wounded officer fell to the ground but was able to return a few shots. Co-conspirator one continued to fire additional rounds until his rifle jammed. The attackers then left the scene. Police arrested most of the Antifa cell shortly after the attack, many near the scene of the attack, including Zachary Evitz. Police arrested Cameron Arnold the following day. Antifa cell goes in deeper. Antifa is a militant enterprise made up of networks of individuals and small groups primarily ascribing to a revolutionary, anarchist, or autonomous Marxist ideology, which explicitly calls for the overthrow of the United States government, law enforcement authorities, and the system of law. Antifa adherents have espoused insurrection and advocate violence to affect the policy and conduct of the U.S. government by intimidation and coercion. Those words inside of that indictment are huge. Go look up the definition of terrorism. Using fear, intimidation, coercion, or control to push a political or ideological agenda. Mm-hmm. Now, why, oh, why would they be instilling fear to push a political agenda if they're not considered domestic terrorists? Beginning in 2025, Antifa adherents have increasingly targeted agents and facilities related to DHS and Immigration and Customs Enforcement in opposition to ICE deportation actions and the U.S. government policy on the removal of illegal aliens. Imagine that. You want to talk about how else they're cracking down? Here we go. This lady right here that you can see has been identified and charged federally with a felony from her actions outside of the Portland ICE facility, where she decided it'd be a good idea to bite a federal officer. Department of Justice, United States Attorney's Office, District of Oregon, for immediate release. Portland woman made her first appearance in federal court today after assaulting a federal officer near a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in South Portland. Oriana Corral, 38, has been charged by criminal complaint with felony offenses of assaulting a federal officer. Ding, ding, ding. Is she pregnant now? I have no idea. If she was pregnant when she was out there on the streets, to be perfectly honest with you, I find that absolutely abhorrent that she's putting her baby in that situation and running around with them on the flipping streets. And it doesn't get any better because this weekend we have the No Kings protest taking place all across the United States yet again. And I talked about the No Kings protest on this morning's podcast, told you guys that those No Kings protesters definitely look like they're Soros funded. You guys can go over to Data Republican over on X and you can check it out. She's got a thread that labels, quite frankly, how she feels. And after reading it, I also feel like they're probably Soros funded. Well, guess what? That crap don't fly in the great state of Texas. And good old Wheels, Governor Abbott, decided it'd be a good idea to deploy the National Guard, Texas National Guard, in the state of Texas to crush it. He ain't playing games. He said anybody that's going to be breaking the law, causing destruction, causing violence, defacing property, doing illegal things is going to get smashed. They're going to get arrested. They're going to get in trouble. Now, I want you guys this weekend, I want you to watch Austin, Texas. I believe that's where this one's taking place that he's concentrating on. I want you to watch what takes place in Austin, Texas versus other Democrat city around the United States of America. Law enforcement and enforcing the law, particularly on these violent protests that are taking place, guess what? It actually works. If they do show up down there in Texas and go about doing that kind of stuff, I guarantee you it's not going to last very long. Why? Because these Americans are going to be on the streets defending it. And that is exactly what this country needs at this particular date in time. It's absolutely ridiculous. And meanwhile, we got other people, which we're about to get into, who is Mamdani running for one of the largest offices in the United States, trying to be the mayor of New York City, which also happens to be the largest, contains the largest population of the Jewish diaspora here in the United States of America. Now, I want to get through and read some of these super chats because you guys have been throwing them at me. We got AP Payne coming in, gifting out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Call of Doobie says, free bacon with ButcherBox code Muhammad is a PDF file. That's what he wrote. I'm just reading his comment. Old Man Weiss says, love it. Keep it up. As an old 12 Bravo, thank you. I appreciate you, Old Man Weiss. 12 Bravos, y'all are all right. He says, yes, sir. Saiyans coming in, gifting out 2. C88 wanted me to turn off the ads. Well, guess what, dude? I did it, I think, before you even sent that. Exit man, I think I'm reading that right. This guy was probably less biased than the Portland police. You're probably correct in assuming that. Old Man Weiss also says, keep it up. Yep, there we go. He says, Old Man Weiss, did you see what Angry Cops just posted in Boston PD and ICE? No, I haven't seen that yet, but apparently now I gotta go check out Angry Cops and see what he's up to. Shoot Rich a text and say, what's up, my friend? Nathan, have you talked about the Dow Media new rules or something like that? No, I haven't. Incog Faraday. Oh, Department of War Media new rules. Yeah, I talked about that on this morning stream. Department of War, excuse me. Yeah, I talked about the Department of War's new media rules on this morning stream. Bunch of people ended up leaving. Who cares? You know, all it does is open up for guys like me to be actually able to get in there and do something. Incog Faraday gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. And Kenneth says, evening, Matt. Hope things are going well. Saw your video questioning illegal truckers on Discord server. Helped us with the info channel I got with Texas. I can open people's eyes on the industry because he works in there. That's a good thing, man. We do need to get into how that's going. I'm pretty sure I got smashed by an illegal trucker at one point in time. State police really didn't do anything other than take a report, watch the driver switch. Neither of them really spoke English. And I asked a state trooper, I'm like, dude, how can people be driving semi trucks in the United States of America when they can't even speak English? How is that possible? Absolutely disgusting. Now let's go take a look at Mamdani, who's claiming to be quasi centrist.
So like some of you, my journey in organizing and my journey in politics began with Palestine. It was and continues to be something that I deeply care about. I came to this country when I was 7 years old, and as soon as I got to any kind of level of political consciousness, the contradiction around Palestine struck me. That we claimed to hold these universal ideals, and then when it came to applying them to Palestinians, we drew a line in the sand. We said we cared about freedom, cared about justice, we cared about safety, we cared about peace even, and yet we did not dare to apply those things to Palestine. And so when I got to college, I co-founded my school's first Students for Justice in Palestine. And that began my organizing journey and my understanding of how power works and how you can actually get people from consciousness to action. I had participated in electoral campaigns of young Muslim progressives who were running for office, and eventually I heard of a Palestinian Lutheran minister, which is a set of words that makes a racist's mind explode. But a Palestinian Lutheran minister by the name of Khadr El-Yatim.
No, what makes my mind explode is that this man's clearly standing inside of a church. We know he's a radical extremist, that he supports Hamas, refuses to condemn, refuses to tell them to disarm, refuses to do all these things. Started a chapter of SJP in college, and SJP, for those of you guys that don't know, is now like pretty dang extreme violent. Ended up causing a lot of the riots on the college campuses, the peaceful protests that we saw over on the college campuses earlier in the year. This man helped to found one of those chapters, and he's speaking inside of a Christian church. That's pretty apparent. I don't know of any mosques that end up putting up crosses. Now, I do know that when I was walking through the Muslim area in Old City Jerusalem, that I ended up seeing them selling all sorts of crosses. All sorts of crosses, little cheap artifacts, and everything else. For some reason, though, why do we have a church teaching politics, having politicians, especially ones that absolutely don't go along with the views of Christ? Why do we have this man inside of a church? Now, it's not abhorrent to me. It's not crazy to think that there is a church inside of Gaza. You know what he failed to tell you, though? What he failed to tell you is that there used to be over 10,000 Christians inside of Gaza when Hamas took it over. Before October 7th, like literally like day of October 7th, there was under 1,000 Christians in Gaza. The Christian population in Gaza reduced by over 90%. And why do you think that is, Mamdami? How come you don't bring that up? You want to talk about Christians being inside of Palestine, but you don't want to mention how 90% of them were basically forced out of Gaza. And oh, by the way, Palestine didn't get any recognition because it's not a recognized state. It's not a nation. It is none of the above. It's not. It's a made up fairy tale that these guys have inside of their minds. That's not just me saying that. That's literally the entire international community, minus a couple of like the radical ones that are out there floating around. Now, I was praising for the longest time the international efforts that were taking place over inside of Lebanon and getting rid of Hezbollah. They would be reduced by over 80%. Well, today, Israeli Defense Force and Israeli Air Force ended up opening up inside of Lebanon with a lot of airstrikes. Now, I love people screaming Free Palestine in the chat. You guys are welcome to hang around. You scream your Free Palestine. And maybe you'll actually learn something if you stick around here long enough. You see where these bombs are dropping inside southern Lebanon? Do you know that portions of southern Lebanon are considered Palestine? And when they talk about Free Palestine from the river to the sea, they're not just talking about Gaza. They're not just talking about the West Bank. They're talking about the entirety of Israel, portions of southern Lebanon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why doesn't anybody talk about that? Now, this is very clearly a weapons cache that ended up getting blasted to bits by an airstrike. Hezbollah is supposed to be disarming inside of Lebanon as was part of a peace deal. Gaza used to belong to Egypt in Cock Verde. You are 1,000% correct. Gaza used to belong to Egypt after the war in 1948. After that ended, it was actually under Egyptian control after the war in 1967. Well, guess what? They ended up giving it up. Israel tried to give it back to them. They don't want it. Same thing with the West Bank. Jordan don't want it. Nobody wants them. As a matter of fact, it's so bad that Egypt even refused to take in women and children from Gaza in recent days to provide refugee status to them in the Sinai Peninsula. Just women, just children. Egypt doesn't even want women and children inside of their territory as long as they come from Gaza. Nobody wants to talk about that, though, do they? Why not? Where's the international pressure on Egypt? Where is the international pressure on Jordan? Where is the international pressure anywhere besides Israel to actually provide relief to those people? And I do have it set up here in the upcoming days. I am going to release it and I'm going to talk about it. I do actually have an actual way for you to help if you are concerned, for you free Palestine people in here, if you are actually concerned, especially now that they're talking about cutting off even more humanitarian aid, because Hamas controls the vast majority of the humanitarian aid. So if you want to contribute to it, I'm actually going to be selling coffee here in the next couple days. I partnered up with a coffee company and I've got an Amazon wish list. I got another creator I'm working with. And when you buy coffee, instead of me taking the profits from the coffee, it's going to purchase food and medical supplies for people inside Gaza, to include winter clothing and everything else. So if you want to sit here and you want to condemn me for having my views and you actually want to do something to where food is going to get on, take care of people on the ground, you better subscribe to the channel, because last time I checked, nobody else on this planet is doing it. And it blows my mind. It's going to take a pro-Israel guy. I'm not even pro-Israel. I'm pro-truth. If Israel steps on their crank and starts committing atrocities, I will be the first one to step up and speak out about it. But why does it take me, a freaking small-time podcaster, to actually set something up like that? If you want to contribute and you're in here in the chat and you're screaming free Palestine, blah, 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 people need food. You are welcome to buy the coffee. I know most of you guys drink coffee. And instead of me taking a paycheck, I'm actually donating it to get the people inside food and clothing. You're welcome. Dear mother of God.
I'm looking at what's happening, and that wasn't the deal that was made, and we'll see what happens. It's calmed down. It's a tough neighborhood. We know that. We have a commitment from them, and I assume they're going to honor that commitment. I hope they do. And I understand they brought back some additional bodies today. It's a rough deal when you think of it, right? Very rough. And we have our hostages back completely. We were very lucky with that. It's a tough situation. They brought back bodies today, as you probably know. But they also said they're going to behave. We're going to find out if they behave. If they behave, good. If they don't behave, we'll take care of it. I'm looking at what's happening, and that was...
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys know what Trump's talking about? Hundreds of people inside Gaza have been murdered by Hamas in the last couple days. I'm not joking when I say that. Hundreds of people have been getting murdered inside of Gaza within the last couple days. I'm going to focus on that here in a minute. Right now, what I want to focus on is those hostages and those hostage bodies and what they plan on doing, because it's kind of a big deal, in my opinion. If you guys think, for one reason, that Israel is going to somehow have peace with them and that Hamas is going to disarm, they're going to go by the ceasefire agreement, you are dead wrong. Don't take it from me, take it from this gentleman.
ما من رسائل توجه إلى العدو الصهيوني إنما هي النصيحة فنحن نترك له المجال للهجرة الطوعية عن أرضنا وعن فلسطيننا المباركة فتمت وقت ليس بالكثير أمامه ليغادر أرضنا.
Our land. He's not talking about Gaza. He's not talking about the West Bank. He's talking about Israel. When he says they can leave, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about Gaza. For those of you that aren't aware and haven't read over their 2017 charter, I highly suggest you go do it. They are talking about the entirety of Israel when they make this statement. Their radical ideology hasn't changed.
فهو أمام خياران لا ثالث لهما إما الرحيل والهرب عن أرضنا وإما أن نحتمله ليكون في باطل الأرض تحت أقدامنا قتلى وأموات بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى أما رسالتنا لأبناء شعبنا وأبناء أمتنا فنطمئنكم نحن بخير وبألف خير وحذار أن يتسلل اليأس إلى قلوبكم وإلى صدوركم من حجم الجريمة التي ارتكبها العدو الصهيوني فهو أراد أن يحدث في عقولكم كيا للوعي بهذه الجريمة نحن بخير.
Now let's just pause it right there. Pretty sure perched up on the collar of his keffiyeh is a DJI mic. For any of you guys that are sitting back trying to scream that this is old, this is not new, no, it is. And again, they're able to get things like that in there. They are beyond delusional. there will not be peace. There will not be peace because they don't want peace. They don't want to disarm. They're refusing to do so. And when asked about that today, this is what President Trump had to say.
No, I didn't say who would go in, but somebody will go in. It's not going to be us. We won't have to. There are people very close, very nearby that will go in. They'll do the trick very easily, but under our auspices.
Donald Trump is saying it's not just going to be Israel that goes back in there. People under our auspices. And he's not talking about Israel. There's a solid chance in the Gaza Peace Summit that he just held a couple days ago over inside of Egypt that one of the things they discussed, because everybody knows, I got a feeling that when he showed up there, there was a bunch of talks with like the different leaders from across the Middle East that kind of like looked at him and were like, you know, man, I don't think Hamas is actually going to give up like they pretend they're going to do. I think they're just doing another propaganda stunt. And because of that, they set things in motion that if they don't, here's our backup plan and they're going to go get after it. Kenneth says, Matt, get with Texas. I shot over my somewhat schedule on the help us with info on Discord and we can plan something that would work. All right, man, looking into it. Old man Weiss, do you think spec ops are going in from the U.S. because of this? No, I do not think that U.S. Special Operations troops are going in because of it. If we had U.S. hostages alive that were on the ground, I might agree with that statement. But because they're not, and they are all out of there, allegedly. Now, if we have information that suggests that there is an alive U.S. hostage, which I'm unaware of any, then yeah, you might expect them to do it. President Trump has the unilateral authority to deploy U.S. Special Operations Forces to go take care of that in this particular situation. And it is constitutionally sound. You can question all you want. You can complain about it, but that's just the way it works. And think about it. If you were, for some reason, a hostage in another country, you wouldn't want to sit around and wait for legislation to get passed or anything else. You wouldn't want the president to make that decision and spend in those amazing men of our U.S. Armed Forces. Now, why do you think that they have such an ingrained ideology? Well, here's a video from 9 years ago, straight out of Gaza. This is a terror camp ran by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad.
ברוכים הבאים למסיבת הסיום של ילדי גן טיפוסי בעזה שנערכה בשכונת זיתון בסוף השבוע בחסות הג'יהאד האסלאמי. המופע האומנותי המושקע, על כך אין חולק, היה בגדר חיקוי אחד לאחד של דרך הטרור הפלסטיני נגד ישראל, עד לפרטים הקטנים ביותר.
היום נחזו הם ולא יחזוננה, היום ימלאונה למולסם וקולהו.
לבושים במדים של הג'יהאד האסלאמי ואוחזים ברובי צעצוע, הציגו הילדים שלב אחרי שלב, פלישה לבסיס.
Again, I call it a terror camp. They call it kindergarten class. Does this look like kindergarten to any of you? Anybody at all watching this, does this look like kindergarten? This is what they're calling kindergarten. There's a mock mortar tube on stage. They're running around. They're going to go over taking hostages, killing people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kindergarten in Gaza.
לאחר מכן הוא מסמן לחבריו להצטרף, ואז פורצים כולם דרך השאר. בשלב הבא נלקח חייל ישראלי אחר בשבי לכאורה, והפעולה מסתיימת בהצלחה. הילדים הציגו גם ירים מרגמות, כולל אפקטים קוליים ברקע, ולבסוף, כיצד מטמינים מטען מתחת לטנק ישראלי. מלבד ההיבטים הצבאיים, מסיבת הסיום הזאת כללה אלמנטים נוספים הלקוחים כולם מתרבות הטרור של עזה. ואומר, ילד בתפקיד האימאם בדרשת יום השישי במסגד, ואפילו חיקוי של דובר הזרוע הצבאית של הג'יהאד האסלאמי, אבו חמזה, במסיבת עיתונאים. בג'יהאד האסלאמי לא ניסו להסתיר את שטיפת המוח הזאת מהציבור, להפך. היא צולמה כולה באיכות וידאו גבוהה והופצה בין השאר ביוטיוב. בכירי הארגון לא תאמינו, אפילו טוענים, שהמטרה במופע הנוראי הזה הייתה דווקא להפיץ מסר של שלום ואהבה.
Do you believe this for one second? That this generational brainwashing, what they call a kindergarten graduation, is somehow going to amount to peace. Do you really? When you look at this and when you think about what the heck's going on, absolutely not. It's not going to amount to peace. Not remotely close. Not a snowball's chance in hell. And you want to see something else? I'm just going to go ahead and mute it because I don't feel like hearing squiggly right now and just let it play. Mute, play. There we go. As you guys are well aware of, one of the hostages' bodies that ended up getting returned the other day was not of whom they claimed. Big surprise, because Hamas did that last time with the Beavis mother. Today, over inside of Khan Yunis, and that's what you're looking at right here, Hamas is literally digging and searching for the bodies. Now, I seem to remember last year, people whining and complaining when Israel killed some terrorists and they ended up burying them, trying to say that they were covering up for their crimes. Dude, these nut jobs don't even know where all of the freaking hostage bodies are buried. They didn't mark them. They have no clue. They're bringing in massive, massive front-end loaders, dozers, all sorts of crap, trying to find them. Where are they? They don't know. They're literally digging for them on Al Jazeera. You guys can see the squiggly writing on the bottom. Of course, Al Jazeera has correspondents on the ground, even though they're not allowed in there. So what are you looking at? Well, you're looking likely at members of Hamas that are talking with Al Jazeera, stating these are all of the great, wonderful things that we are trying to do in order to help out their movement and their cause. Old Man Weiss says, I think if we're going to do something, better do it now, and violence of action, because it's not going to get any better than now if we don't. You're right. As a matter of fact, let's talk about this real quick. Now's a good time to bring that up, Old Man Weiss, now that you ended up mentioning that. I'm going to throw this up. Hamas killing hundreds. Head of Khan Yunis militia pleads for international community to protect Gazans against Hamas executions. Now, why, oh, why is Hamas conducting executions is the question. A lot of people are looking at it and they're speculating on it on and on and on. Well, I've got it on good source that what's actually happening is Hamas is using this ceasefire agreement to rearm and refit. And they've called on every single Gazan that has a firearm or ammunition to bring it to Hamas. Now, if you refuse to do that, guess what? They're going to kill you and your entire family. If you stand up against them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to kill you and your entire family. Hamas is literally running around the Gaza Strip right now, killing hundreds to collect weapons, ammunition, equipment, refortify their positions. That's what's taking place. This isn't Hasbara. None of my Mossad contacts reached out and told me that. And I'm not going to endanger other people's lives to tell you who did. But it is appalling that that's what's taking place. And we are well aware of it. And that, my friends, is exactly why what Incog Faraday just said needs to happen. They need to be able to capitalize, excuse me, not Incog Faraday, Old Man Weiss, that it needs to happen now. They need to be able to go in now because Hamas is using this time, just like they did last, in order to refit, rearm, regroup, set up more defensive fighting positions, and kill more troops on their way in. This is never going to be one of those things where they have a peace deal in place. Hamas has already said they're not going to disarm. Hamas has already said they want to be a part of the new government that's going to take place inside of Gaza. And they're not going to disarm. They're not going to quit fighting until that's done. So, with Hamas going around killing all of their own people, and you have militias that are on the ground trying to take care of it, and you know they're publicly executing these people for fear, that is exactly why they're doing it. They're doing this so that they can regroup, reorganize, and refit. 100%, make no mistake about it, that's what's actually going on over there inside Gaza, and yet people want to lie about it. It irks me down to my soul. Absolutely irks me down to my soul. That's what's taking place. You guys remember, by the way, that I said flour used to cost 50 kilograms. Well, information ended up coming out today that flour is down to just 5 shekels for a 25 kilogram sack over inside of Gaza. That's wild. I guess I should have been searching for updated numbers the other day before I did it, because it looks like the efforts of GHF have actually paid off, because people are able to get flour. People are actually going over, and instead of carrying out the flour at some of these sites, they're actually going over and they're grabbing pallets because they don't need the flour, because flour is now abundantly available on the streets. I can't do the music, man. Music's going to drive me insane. What you're looking at up here on the screen is humanitarian aid, obviously, that ended up getting brought in. The flour is so abundant now that they're literally throwing the sacks on the side of the road. And this is what this gentleman is reportedly explaining. The flour is just being thrown on the ground. You can see how much of it is just there. People are sitting around. Nobody's scrambling to get the flour. Nobody's like dying to freaking get it. Look at that. That's all humanitarian aid. Your mom says, Matt, how come they haven't taken care of this and made it go away? Good question. In my absolute opinion, this should have been taken care of a long time ago. I've been a huge proponent of violence up front saves lives. Overwhelming violence in cases of war, especially against Islamic extremism, saves lives. It saves lives on both the attacking force and the terrorist force, believe it or not, and civilians. Why? Because you end things violently, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And for some reason, we can't seem to get that through our thick skulls. And if you want to know my opinion on it, it's because of the liberalism that's pushed in here to the United States. Look at that. UN vehicles just driving straight through the flour. UN is well aware. Look at that. UN vehicles driving right through the massive piles of flour. They are well aware of this crap. And they're well aware of this narrative. They're well aware of the garbage. It has been manufactured. And that's what I've been screaming the entire time. And if you finally needed evidence, if it just takes a little bit of time for the truth to come to light, ladies and gentlemen, you're seeing it right before your very eyes. That's exactly what that is. That's them doing horrible, horrible things. We have our own problems back here at home. We're going to talk about them in just a sec in order to close this out. We have our own problems. But here's another, just a great video. Nobody likes Sinwar. If you're following the conflict between Israel and Hamas, Sinwar was a horrible human being. There's no other getting around it. He murdered. He was willing to martyr all of his people in order to make this happen. All of them. Brand new footage got released today from Sinwar's death. How you like them apples? Newly released footage following a year since the elimination of Sinwar. There he is, laying in his pile of excrement just down there on the ground. And you got Israeli soldiers that are going over there. It shows walking through. I got to take the other portions of it off. But, yep, he's dead. He's domed to the head. He don't look pretty. Dead, 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 dead. That man got shot by a sniper round laying right there on the ground. Absolutely amazes me. Meanwhile, we're sitting here trying to pretend like we don't have problems in the United States of America. Like, I don't even know how to say this. I'm about to show you probably one of the biggest problems that we have here in the United States of America. And I am a huge proponent of the Constitution. I'm a huge proponent of do whatever you want with your body. I'm also a huge proponent of there's just some crap that you just don't do. You want to see how bad drugs actually are. You want to see what the laws in Portland and the laws in other sanctuary cities and the laws of cities to where everything's legal. You want to see what that actually looks like, where the law is not being enforced. You want to actually see the full freaking, like, just evil that is in these cities. Take a look here. This is a man who just OD'd on fentanyl. That is his girlfriend. This is the streets of Portland. Now, whether or not he's dead or he's dying or he's just really tired and taking a fentanyl nap, I don't know. But what I do know is that his girlfriend is digging through his clothes, trying to find more fentanyl. That is how serious of an issue this is in the United States. This is how potent and strong of a drug fentanyl is. I would think that she had love for her boyfriend. I would think that she had love for other people around. Probably a good person before she got addicted to drugs. This is the actual streets of Portland. It's captured in broad daylight. Why, oh, why would you want this on your streets. Smokey Sergeant says they're staged here. 100% correct. Danny Golan says the fighting with some of the clans like Dumush isn't that bad. They pledged allegiance to ISIS and they are Salafists. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bad things, and I haven't even brought up Syria. I haven't even brought that up. For those of you guys that don't know, Christians are actually being attacked over in Syria. I'm going to close this out because I actually have more personal business to attend to, things like that. I'm going to close the show out, and I want to show you how ridiculous the left is. Over inside Maine at a school board meeting, they were interjecting, and they were a bit upset about men being allowed to use the women's locker room. And they had a school board meeting. This is what happened.
Point of order.
We've asked that we use...
Oh, so wait. They're covered. You feel uncomfortable? Because that's what these young girls feel like when a boy walks into the locker room and starts unchanging in front of them. Yeah, you feel uncomfortable, right? Feel uncomfortable, huh? That's what these young girls feel like every time a young boy changes in front of them. You can look at me like that all you want. That's exactly how they feel. And you, Miss Murphy, oh, well, I don't know if I stand with girls or if I stand with my, with the... See, you don't care how young girls feel? You don't care about the safety of young kids? What about what happened in Virginia with that boy that raped a young girl in a bathroom, then got sent to another school and did it again? What are we going to do when that happens here? How are you going to look that girl in the face and say, sorry, I didn't protect you? This is Maine's capital. We should be setting an example for the rest of the state. You know what example you guys are setting? That we do not care about the young girls in this state. You guys care about politics. Oh, we can't change it because it's not law. It got changed by an executive order by Biden.